G'day everyone, this is B. Jemine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to the second edition of my 2019 Melbourne International Film Festival audio reviews. For this installment, I will be reviewing the films In Fabric, Baccarat, Come to Daddy, and Memory, The Origins of Aliens. So let's get right to it. And first up, of course, is the British horror film In Fabric, which is the latest film directed by Peter Strickland, the filmmaker behind Barbarian Sound Studio and The Duke of Burgundy. And the plot summary for this one, which I am reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. It's winter 1970-something, and lonely divorcee Sheila, Marianne Sean Baptiste, has a blind date. Shopping for a dress, she ends up in an eccentric department store where a witchy saleswoman, delectably played by Strickland regular Fatma Muhammad, sells her the hypnotically gorgeous Atouré red dress, Kavit Emptour. Pretty soon, display mannequins come alive with the touch of a retail coven, and washing machine repairs take a sinister turn. Now, Peter Strickland is definitely one of the most interesting filmmakers that has come out in the last couple years. His two previous films, Barbarian Sound Studio and The Duke of Burgundy, are such original and unique films that sort of take their sort of influences from specific subgenres of 70s cinema and he brings his own kind of spin to them. With Barbarian Sound Studio, it's his take on the giallo film, and with The Duke of Burgundy, it's kind of his take on the sort of the soft core erotica film. And within Fabric, this is one, like, after sort of going more of the sort of drama route with Duke of Burgundy, he heads back to his horror roots within Fabric, which is his first horror film since Barbarian Sound Studio. And once I heard the premise of In Fabric, which basically at the center of it is so bizarre because it's essentially about a killer dress, I was immediately hooked by it. And I didn't need to know anything else. I didn't see any of the trailers or anything like that, so I just went into it just with the knowledge that it's Peter Strickland making a film about a killer dress, and that for me is what sold me on the film. Now, having seen the film, I gotta admit I was a bit disappointed by it, and it's probably my least favorite of the films that I've seen of his so far. And the reason for that is, and before I get to that reason why, I'll talk about the aspects of the film I did like. I think the first half of the film is really rock solid, and I really sort of love, like I said, he sort of takes sort of the 70s styles of filmmaking and sort of does his own kind of unique and original way with it. Because visually the film, especially in the first half, just looks fantastic. From the costume designs, the production, and just how scenes are set is so well done. And also the performances are all really good. And it's also great that Oscar-nominated actress Marianne Sean Baptiste, who's an actress who I think is very underrated and never really sort of has gotten any really big, meaty roles since her Oscar-nominated turn in Secrets and Lies back in 1996. So it's really cool to see her in the lead of a film like this. And she does a really wonderful job. And also the sort of supporting cast, like Fatma Muhammad, who plays the saleswoman at the shop where she buys the dress, is a delightfully weird. And also Gwendolyn Christie, who kind of plays this sort of older femme fatale who's been going out with her son, is also really good as well. And also what I really like about the first half is that, like I said, other than being visually beautiful from costumes, cinematography, the score is really well done, and also it really does hook you into the story. Like, I mean, how can you make a film that's about a killer dress? Peter Strickland finds a way, and it's a really interesting way he does it too, and definitely sort of kept me hooked. But at the same time though, there were a lot of moments in this first half that I found really weird that kind of kept me at a distance from the film, because I kept thinking, like, what is the purpose of these weird scenes? Because the film doesn't really sort of delve into them as much, and they kind of just happen and then the movie just moves on. But that being said though, I was still enjoying the ride. However, where the film kind of lost it for me was in its second half, because at the halfway point of the film decides to kind of switch gears And I'm not going to say why, because that's going to go in the spoiler territory. And the film kind of became less interesting for me and kind of dull, to be honest. And I, like I said, I could explain why that is, but I really can't because of spoilers. But yeah, just what happens in the second half, just, I just found, like I said, rather dull. And it just, I just wasn't engaged by where the story went in the second half. And even though it's kind of consistent to everything that was happening before in the first half, but I don't know, I guess it just wasn't that interesting to me as a viewer, and it kind of, hence why it did lose me. So, which is a shame, because I think the, like I said, the first half of the film was really rock solid, but it almost kind of felt like, I mean, it almost felt like Strickland had a pretty rough idea of what he wanted to do with a film that's about a killer dress. But I feel like there were too many half-baked ideas that weren't really fully formed to make it a much more fulfilling experience as a film for me, which is kind of a shame because there are some interesting ideas in it, but they're just not, it's just not really well thought out, and which is a shame, but mostly in the sort of the second half of the film. But that's being said though, this is a film I can definitely see a lot of people really enjoying, but sort of talking to a few other film critic friends of mine after the film, we kind of all were in the same kind of mindset. Like the first half is really good, but then the second half kind of just went downhill after that. So I'm kind of interested to see what everyone else thinks of this film when it comes out. But for me personally, I just found it like my first real big disappointment of MIFF this year. And which is a shame because I was really looking forward to this film. Like Peter Strickland definitely is a unique and original talent, but I just feel like this film just didn't quite work, unfortunately. And for me, it's definitely his weakest film, for sure. So if I had to give In Fabric a rating, I give it about 2.5 out of 5. Alrighty, so let's move on to film number 2, which of course is the Brazilian film Baccarat. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. In the very near future, the tiny Brazilian town of Baccarat, perched somewhere between the Sertão and a very distant land of fable, mourns the death of its fiery matriarch. Carmelita, Sonia Braga, and the locals soon start to notice some very strange things going down. The water supply has been cut off, the community is disappearing from maps, and is that a UFO hovering ominously over the town's outskirts? Now, I first became aware of Baccarat when the film premiered at the Cannes Film Festival a couple of months back, and people who I follow on Twitter, as well as other film critics who saw the film, were just raving about it. And usually when I hear about films sort of getting really positive buzz from critics, I always put that immediately onto my watch list, even if I don't necessarily need to see a trailer or even know what the film is about. So when I went into Baccarat, the only thing I knew about the film was its reputation. I didn't really sort of read that much into the plot. And the plot that I just read off the MIFF program guide just now is only just a small fragment of what this film is really like. And I have to say, I really enjoyed Baccarat a lot. And I will admit, it is a very deliberately paced film at first, because the film is about about nearly 2.5 hours long. And probably for the first half of the film, it definitely is very slow with its pacing. But there's a good reason for that, is because it's sort of taking its time sort of setting up the story and the characters. And it does feel like not that much is going on. Like, you get little instances here and there of really interesting things happening. But once the film sort of really kicks in the gear, that's when it becomes really engaging and a lot of fun. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of like a Brazilian Western in a way. But it also is a film that's very influenced by genre cinema. So you get a little bit of sort of bits and pieces everywhere from so many different influences, which I'm not going to mention because that'll pretty much kind of spoil what the film is really about. But I do recommend going into this film not knowing that much about it, because there, like I said, just based on that synopsis that I read before, there's little teasers and all that kind of that make the imagination go. And for me, I just enjoyed the ride. I thought the cast all did a really solid job. And there are some sort of highlights of the cast. Sonia Braga was definitely wonderful in her role. And also Udo Kier shows up as well, and he's really good as well. And it's definitely one of my favorite performances of his. I'm not going to say how he factors into the story, so because, you know, again, that's going in the spoiler territory. But it's a really interesting little film. And like I said, it's a film that's definitely, for the filmmakers, is a genre picture, but it's a unique take on the genre picture. And I knew for a fact that, and it's also has some very memorable moments. It's got some pretty hard-hitting violence, but also at the end of the day, it is a fun movie, and it's quite a memorable one as well. But I also knew that I was going to really like this film when a song from Halloween director John Carpenter's score album, Lost Themes, played at a certain point in the film, and it's one of my favorite tracks from that album. So once that song played, this film pretty much was, I was just like, got really giddy, and I was like, yep, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this movie. And I did. So I really enjoyed Baccarat a lot. Again, like in Fabric, I'm very interested to see what everyone else thinks of this film, because like I said, besides being sort of genre, being a very influenced by genre cinema, it also has little bits of absurdism in it, and also satire as well. And it's kind of a mixture of so many different films, and it, which I think is great, because it just makes it such a unique film overall. So if I had to give Baccarat a rating, this one's definitely 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed this one a lot. Now, moving on to film number 3, which is the dark comedy Come to Daddy. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. Norval, Elijah Wood, is a 30-something misfit hipster DJ and recovering alcoholic who still lives at home with his mother. He has not seen his dad in decades, but when he receives a handwritten invitation from the man who abandoned him as a child, Norval naively jumps at the opportunity. Big mistake. Now, Come to Daddy is a really interesting film, because this film is the directorial debut of longtime producer Ant Timpson, who of course was the producer behind so many horror films like The ABCs of Death and The Field Guide to Evil and Deathgasm. So this is his first film as a director, and I wasn't sure what to expect from Come to Daddy, because from what a lot of people told me, this is the type of film that's best not to go in knowing anything about it at all. All I knew is that it was directed by him, and also it stars Elijah Wood. So again, that's all I needed to know. And I have to say, I really enjoyed this film a lot. Like, I'm not going to say it's a great film by any means, but it's quite an enjoyable one. And it's definitely, as someone who loves genre films of all different types, this one was definitely right up my alley for sure. And it's interesting because reading a few sort of little reviews and all that from a few people who I know who saw the film, this is kind of one of those ones that had a very mixed reception. I know quite a few people who enjoyed this film, but I know some people who actually hated this film. So I don't know. I think for me, I just enjoyed it for what it was, because I was just sort of went along for the ride, because, you know, I didn't know what to expect from this film. And for that, I really enjoyed it. For me, this one is, even though the previous films that Ant Timpson produced prior were all horror films, this one is definitely more of a dark comedy, and it's quite a really solid one. It's got a really interesting premise at the center of it, and it's got a really strong cast as well. Elijah Wood gives another wonderful performance in the lead as Norval, and he's really great. And also sort of the supporting cast, which include like Stephen McHattie, Martin Donovan, and so many others, are all really strong in their roles as well. And it has a really interesting premise. But I will admit, even though this is one of those films that's probably best not to go in knowing about it. But as I was sort of sitting there watching it and seeing it as it was progressing along, I kind of figured out exactly where the story was gonna go, so I wasn't really that surprised where the film ended up in the end. But that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it overall. I mean, it's a film that has a lot of really funny, dark humor in it, and I was just kind of taken in by the ride of it. Like, I think overall, it's just a really fun film that I think fans of sort of dark comedies, particularly ones that are sort of very genre based, would enjoy. I'm again, like all the previous films I've talked about in this review, I'm kind of interested to see what other people thought of it. But I think it's a solid little directorial debut for Ann Timpson, and I think he definitely has some talent and as a filmmaker. So I'm definitely interested to see what he does next for sure. So if I had to give Come to Daddy a rating, I'd give it a solid 3.5 out of 5. Now, moving on to the fourth and final film for this edition. And that is the documentary on the film Alien, Memory: The Origins of Alien. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. Few films have infected our collective nightmares in the same way as 1979's Alien, with its facehuggers, chest bursters, and a tagline which assured us that in space no one could hear our screams. But how did such an unlikely project come together? This is the mystery unraveled by director Alexander O. Philippe, who brought us the captivating psycho shower scene dissection 7852. Philippe explores how an aborted 1971 script called Star Beast became a sci-fi horror inspired by H.P. Lovecraft, Francis Bacon, feminism, ancient myths, and the disease that would eventually kill screenwriter Dan O'Bannon. Now, it's no secret that Alien is definitely, without a doubt, one of my all-time favorite films. And actually, the whole Alien franchise is one of my all-time favorite franchises. Even though, yes, it's kind of a mixed bag, but it's a franchise I love for a lot of reasons. And Alien is definitely, without a doubt, one of the great sci-fi horror films of all time. But not even that, but just one of the great films of all time. So when I first heard about this documentary, months back, before it even was announced, it was going to play at MIFF. I knew I had to see it as soon as it came out, and particularly since it is being directed by Alexander Ofilippe, who made a film, made the documentary 7852, which I saw at MIFF a couple years back, and I found that documentary such an interesting sort of look at the shower scene from Psycho, especially like on a thematic level, like what the film. That scene is meant to be, like how that scene sort of reflected the times we were in at that period, and so many of and so much more, that I was kind of interested to see how he would tackle the film Alien with this doco. Because originally, I think in the early stages, he said that he was going to do a similar approach to this film as he did with 7852, just by focusing only on the chest burster scene and how much of an impact that scene made on cinema. But as he sort of went into doing his research and working on the film, he realized there was a lot more stuff around the film that was just equally interesting. And I gotta say, I really enjoyed this documentary a lot. I mean, there were some aspects I already did know, since, I had seen a lot of documentaries on Alien and also the rest of the Alien series, so I kind of know all the sort of little bits and pieces. But sort of learning more about the influences themselves was really fascinating, particularly because, like as I mentioned in the synopsis, this film is kind of from all different aspects is influenced by so much, from mythology, history, cinema, art, and also sort of social topics as well. So kind of seeing how all those little bits and pieces from those aspects kind of formed this film was really fascinating to me, particularly having, the three main figures behind this film: Dan O'Bannon, the screenwriter; Ridley Scott, the director; and of course H.R. Giger, the man who created the alien creature, like how they sort of approached this film with their influences. And But what one I one thing I really liked about this documentary a lot, in a lot of ways, this film is almost like a tribute to Dan O'Bannon himself, because Dan O'Bannon, of course, passed away a couple years back. And this way, especially in the first half, the film does play like a tribute to him. And for me, that actually I found quite moving because, I mean, this film came from him and he worked so long trying to get this film made and sort of worked on it for years and years before it was finally made into a film. And kind of seeing, like in that first half, all the different things that sort of inspired him to create this film. Like I knew like some of the more cinematic influences, like It, The Terror from Beyond Space was an obvious kind of influence on this film, but kind of seeing all the other films that Dan O'Bannon saw when he was younger that played a big part in how he shaped Alien was really interesting to me, especially with the clips that you can, like, when you watch them, you're like, oh yeah, I can see where Dan O'Bannon got this and this and this. But not only that, just like seeing everything else, like I said, the historical influences or the mythological influences, and also even like not just H.R. Giger's art himself, because which is of course was the main reason he got the gig to design the alien creature in the first place, but seeing like how the work of Francis Bacon, the artist, also inspired the film as well. And kind of seeing all this stuff, just you can see that influence. And it's just, and to me as a both an Alien fan and just a fan of cinema, just seeing that was brought a lot of joy to me because I'm seeing all this really cool stuff. And for me it was very insightful as well. And also getting to hear all the sort of the figureheads as well, like Tom Skerritt's there being interviewed, and also Veronica Cartwright as well as other film critics and film historians and just historians in particular was sort of interesting. It was interesting to hear their insights into this film. But the film is, of course, is based around the chest burster scene and how that scene was achieved and how that scene kind of went from its earliest inceptions to the final version we see on the screen was really fascinating. And like, yeah, some parts I did know before, again, from other documentaries, but also some other parts I didn't know either. But it was interesting kind of seeing that throughout the film. And also, one of the funniest parts of the film for me is, like, I believe, like, people who worked on the film, when they sort of were making the film, they talked about there was, like, certain little things about the film that didn't make sense. Like, for example, in the scene where Harry Dean Stanton's character is just about to get killed by an alien, he goes into a room that looks like it's raining, and they ask Ridley, it's like, how is it raining in space? How is this possible? And it said, well, it's a movie. And Ridley's like, it's a movie. It doesn't have to make sense. It just looks cool. So so that kind of stuff was really funny to me. But overall, it's just a really solid documentary. And I think for anyone who is a big Alien fan, like myself, it's definitely a must watch. Like, it does have some, I can see some people saying, oh, it could have delved into a lot more stuff a bit more, but overall, I just think, as for what it is, it's just a really fun and insightful documentary, and I think if you're a fan of the Alien franchise, it's definitely a must-see for sure. So, if I had to give Memory, The Origins of Alien a rating, I'd give it a solid 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed this one a lot. Well, that's it. That's the end of this second edition of my 2019 Myth audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And keep a lookout very soon for my third edition, in which I'll be reviewing the films Frankie, American Woman, In My Blood It Runs, and The Beach Bum. So keep a lookout for that, and I'll see you guys later. See you, everyone. Bye.